All right, let's talk some Penn State football. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now joins us. Nittany Lions are on an off week this week. Then we've got Michigan coming up here in a week and a half. Joe, what's going on with you today, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Corey. How about yourself? Thanks for having me on.
I am great. I appreciate you coming on. What do you do during a bye week, Joe? Certain media do different things on a bye week. Some go on vacation. Some continue to do a lot of work. What do you do as a Penn State media member during a bye week?
Yeah, you know, this is my first bye week. A little backstory. I was brought on by Nittany Sports Now last season, I think early November. So it was after Penn State's bye week had passed. So this is a new experience for me. But I found that the bye week, Corey, is really a time to kind of assess where Penn State is at, assess how things are for the first five games, what players have overachieved, which have underachieved, if the team is meeting expectations, if it's not meeting expectations, or if, you know, things are right where they're expected to be. So I think the bye week is a time of reflection. But then, obviously, next week, Michigan is what they're playing at Michigan, and it's going to be back to the grind of the season, I suppose.
Okay, so let's go down that path, and I'll ask you point blank, is Penn State overrated? They're the number 10 team in the country. They have not beaten a ranked team. They have looked pretty good at times, certainly in the Auburn game. They've looked mediocre at times. Is this team overrated, in your opinion, at number 10?
I think it's about right where it should be, you know. People say they haven't played anybody. That's true to an extent. I don't think Auburn is a very good team in the SEC. I think Purdue is pretty good, but Purdue hasn't definitively proven yet that it's a pretty good football team. But at the end of the day, still, though, Corey, through five games, how many teams have more than one win on the road in a Power 5 stadium? Not a lot of teams have that. So
yeah, there's no doubt. Those are good wins, and certainly when we're talking about rankings, the thing about rankings is as long as you win, you move up. So when I say overrated, there are teams ranked below Penn State that have a loss that I absolutely think are better than Penn State. We can go through the rankings here and just – but my point is Penn State started off unranked. They did get the two good road wins. And what you just keep moving up. If you're undefeated, it's like last year. There was no way in the world Penn State was the number four team in the country last year.
Right.
But they kept moving up because they were – Iowa, my God, was number three. So I guess that's what I'm getting at, Joe. When I ask you if they're overrated, do you think that they're honestly the 10th best? Can we even know right now if they're the 10th best team in the country?
I don't think we know at all. It's not necessarily early in the season, but I think it's early enough to where, you know, we don't really know what we have yet. How good is Penn State? How good's Purdue? How good's Auburn? It's just like, obviously, you know, Alabama's really good. Ohio State's really good. Georgia's really good. But looking at the number 14, for example, what has Michigan really proven this year? Obviously, we give Jim Harbaugh and that team the benefit of the doubt, and rightly so, because of what it did last year, winning the Big Ten, making the playoffs. But Michigan's non-conference schedule was an absolute joke. I think we know that by now. And it had two wins over Maryland, which I think Maryland's a good team, but it's not in Michigan's level, so Michigan should beat them at home. And then winning at Iowa, which Iowa has become a punchline in the Big Ten. So I just think, I don't know how good anybody really is aside from Alabama, Georgia, which obviously they're Alabama and Georgia. So
yeah, but even Georgia struggled a little bit for a couple weeks. I think what happens, Joe, is we're talking 18 to 22-year-old kids, or in some cases, like Sean Clifford, 46-year-old guys, where to try to focus week in and week out and bring your A game week in and week out is a challenging thing. Even if you're – Alabama almost lost to Texas. You know, even if you're on that level, sometimes it can be more challenging for – and I'm just talking about one or two or three guys. I'm talking about, you know, 40, 50 guys on a team bringing their A level – in college football. So that is a component of it. I want to ask you about Michigan, though, and that is, what do you feel most confident in when Penn State goes to Michigan next week? One thing that you think Penn State is absolutely going to do well in that game?
Well, Corey, I think if Michigan wins the game, it won't be because of J.J. McCarthy. I think that this secondary, we talked about how it's too early for teams to prove too much, but I think Penn State secondary has established itself as one of the nation's best and definitely a strength of this defense. So I think if Michigan beats Penn State, it's going to have to rely on Blake Corum a lot, and that's a concern on Penn State's end because I don't think I'm not as confident in Penn State's run defense as I am its pass defense. But what I'm most confident in, I think, when all is said and done, whether Penn State wins or loses, like say Michigan does win, you're not going to wake up Sunday morning and think, man, J.J. McCarthy beat Penn State. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think if Michigan beats Penn State, it's going to have to ride Blake Corum a lot. And by the same token, if Penn State is to beat Michigan, it's going to have to shut down Corum or at least neutralize him enough.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Penn State's secondary is outstanding, and Michigan – They like to run the ball anyway. What's going to be fascinating, I think, in that game, one of the strengths of the Penn State defense has been the red zone. Teams can move the ball on them, but when they get into the red zone, they've generally not been able to score touchdowns. I mean, Penn State held off Northwestern at fourth and goal at the one that would have made that a much more interesting game in the fourth quarter. Here's the one thing, Joe, that I do think I'm concerned about, and that's with Michigan's running game. They can run the ball in the red zone. So my concern is, even if the secondary plays real well and they're not doing a great job throwing the ball, meaning Michigan, I still think they can find a way to get into the end zone because, unlike some of these other teams, including Auburn, this Michigan team knows how to run the ball in the red zone.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. I don't have the Auburn numbers for the red zone off the top of my head, Corey, but definitely Penn State did do its job, especially in the first half, of limiting Auburn to either a field goal in the red zone or no points at all. I think something I've been thinking about is a hope for Penn State might be that Jim Harbaugh kind of outsmarts himself and that, you know, sometimes you think teams that have a really good running back just ride him, but maybe coaches kind of overthink themselves and pass the ball and get away from the strength of the offense more than they should. I think a good example of that is the 2016 Big Ten Championship game. If I remember right, in the first half, Wisconsin was running the ball a lot with Corey Clement, but then eventually Paul Chryst, who recently got fired, obviously, was decided to go to the pass game, and Penn State ended up coming back and getting winning the game, winning the Big Ten Championship. So, but to your original point, Corey, I don't know if the bend or don't break strategy that, or not really a strategy, but kind of a pattern that's happened with Manny Diaz's defense for these first five games, I don't know if that's going to work as well as it did at Auburn, at Michigan. I think if Michigan gets into the red zone, it has a better chance of getting points out of it than Auburn did, and that's something that Penn State needs to be cognizant of. So.
Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports. Now, one last thing. I want to ask you what you're most confident in or what you're least confident in with regards to Penn State going into that game. What's one area where you're like, you know, I don't have a whole lot of faith that they're going to do well in this particular component?
Yeah, I'm probably least confident in Penn State's tackling. And going back, and we talked about the Auburn game, but the first half, Penn State was missing some tackles, especially on run plays. And that kind of ties into, you know, a big question mark going back to camp has been Penn State's linebackers, especially the Mike position with Tyler Elson and Kobe King splitting reps. I don't think either of them has shown me much to really.
This is an average linebacker. I mean, Abdul Carter looks like he could be really good. No Penn State linebacker has more than 18 tackles. I mean, that's astounding when we're talking about Micah Parsons and then the tradition before of the last 10 or 15 years. This is as average of a linebacker group as I've really seen at Penn State.
Oh, I agree 100%. And you mentioned Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter, as talented as he is and as good as he could be for Penn State, you don't really want to rely on a true freshman to be one of your best linebackers. That's just not something that's a goal coming into the season. So I think to answer your question, my biggest concern would be tackling because, you know, teams that like to run the ball, and we even saw this with Auburn. I know it's easy to forget because Penn State won by 29, but a big concern against teams that run the ball a lot is the linebacking core. And, you know, a weak linebacking core can definitely be exploited by a team that likes to run the ball
Bingo.
And run the ball well, which is something that Michigan does.
Hey, that's good stuff, man. I appreciate the insight. First time we've had Joe on the show. I look forward to having you on a lot more. I like the way you think. All those components, man, I'm right there with you on all that stuff. Thank you, Joe.
All right, thanks, Corey.
All right, good stuff. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now.